When the Dow, S&P 500, and the NASDAQ all hit record highs in a single day, should one celebrate or worry? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Here's how the milestone played out. The Dow on Thursday rose 117 points, 0.6%. The S&P rose 0.5%. The NASDAQ a bit less than 0.5%. That's the first time all three hit a record high since 1999. Many wrote headlines evoking Prince. Tonight we're going to party like it's... Well, that peak was on New Year's Eve, 1999. But guess how soon afterward the giant 90s bull market came to an end? January 14th, 2000, 2 weeks later, as the dot-com 1.0 bubble popped. This bull market is 7.5 years old, and it is a good day to review some of its drivers. Let's turn to Mark Lucchini, Chief Investment Strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, David.
So this long bull market, what are some of your explanations for the length of this thing?
Well, one is you came out of a period where equity prices had been demolished as a consequence of the financial crisis to the point where valuations in the market were about 10 times earnings, which is pretty cheap from a historic perspective. And investors began to nibble. And when it looked as though that the world economy wasn't necessarily going to collapse, stock prices vaulted higher. And accompanied by the Fed largesse and other central banks that began to intervene, all in an effort to reflate economies around the world, contributed to economic improvement, subsequent earnings growth that helped to boost stock prices. And of course, it kind of fed on itself over time.
And given that central bank largesse, interest rates are low, and that makes stocks a little more attractive in some people's minds. So there's that process.
No doubt about it. I mean, we have operated under the TINA principle. There is no alternative for risk-based capital. And so, you know, investors, one, looking for any kind of opportunity for capital appreciation, certainly would seem to want to find it in the equity market, since we know what the yields are that they're going to derive from fixed income securities, which are locked down in low single digits, or in many cases around the world, negative. In addition to that, the search for income or yield is insatiable. And so investors have flocked into the bond surrogate sectors, and that has also helped to drive up equity prices in the aggregate.
Mark Lucchini at Janney Montgomery Scott, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
In early trading today, the Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ were each down about 0.1%, in part because there's news today that retail sales, an engine of the economy, especially of late, were weaker than expected in July. Cars and trucks did well. E-commerce was humming along. But if you take out autos, sales were down 0.3% last month. We've been covering Hillary Clinton's plan for the economy, given her Detroit speech yesterday. Note that Clinton also talked about education, where she emphasized not traditional four-year degrees, but rather training and vocational programs. At the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, our Amy Scott was focused on that piece.
In her speech yesterday, she talked about supporting alternatives to the four-year degree. She's proposed a tax credit for businesses that create paid apprenticeships. She talked about supporting union training programs and said she wanted to create a national program to, quote, dignify skills training, though she didn't offer details on what that means. But Clinton said that more than half the jobs available at the end of this decade won't require a four-year college degree, and there should be more options for people who don't take that path.
Amy, thank you. Something that was supposed to bring down medical costs may have the opposite effect. Doctors doing tests in their offices. That's according to a recent Wall Street Journal analysis of Medicare data. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has some background.
Medicare, the health program for seniors, has its own chronic condition. It doesn't know how to say no.
Medicare is still squandering millions of dollars, and patients are suffering.
Dr. Rita Redberg is at University of California, San Francisco, and advises Congress on Medicare. Health policy folks like Redberg have long pointed out Medicare spends billions every year on drugs, procedures, and services that aren't proven. This week, the Wall Street Journal found Medicare paid some doctors more than $120 million over 2 years for questionable tests and services, including to diagnose nerve damage and treat skin tumors. Harvard economist Kate Baker.
The problem is that there are lots of technologies that are incredibly valuable and safe, but are only valuable for some patients and are getting used on lots of other patients.
Now, Baker says diagnosing Medicare's problems is much easier than finding a remedy. Medicare could investigate the value of treatments before signing off. Baker wants to make sure doctors have the right incentives to make sure the right patient is getting the right treatment. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
We also have some reporting today on how I should stop mixing my fractions when I do the market numbers every day because it confuses people. Experts agree I should stop with the 0.25%, 0.5%, 0.75%, and stick with the decimal, typically 0.1%. If you miss my colleague Mark Garrison's piece about this on the air, it's at marketplace.org or in the first podcast of the day. And now I pledge in public to say 0.7 instead of 0.75% from now on. So, Mark, you want 0.5% of my apple here?
I'll take 2/4 of the apple. How about that?
All right. And one additional thing. What should I do about the raw points? If I want to do, say, the NASDAQ composite index, is it useful for me to every time say it's up 23 points and not just say 0.8%?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's something I asked the researchers and looked through some of the papers on this topic. And one thing that they said is that there's a question of you want to have the right numbers, but not give too many numbers, because having too many numbers can also be confusing. So what they said is that if you really want to find out what's the clearest, what's the best way to do the numbers, we got to do an original experiment about what we do on our show and see what happens. And that's actually something that we're thinking about doing.
All right. I hear a PhD thesis in the making. Marketplace's Mark Garrison, thank you.
Thank you.
So jury's still out on the points, but I'll work to keep my denominators consistent. What do you think is the best way for me to express the numbers allowed on this program? You can add to the discussion at Facebook, Marketplace APM's the place. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.